Well, it's good to see all of you here today. You know, we have a few people that are out today. We always have a few people out. Part of life. And so thanks, Phil, for filling in today. It's good. Probably I'll need to see you up here more. Isn't it good to be part of the family of God?
Amen.
Isn't it good to know that your relationship with Him because of what He's done on the cross and the resurrection and His gift that God's love pushed and gave forth the greatest gift known to man, that you have that today?
Amen.
If you have Christ today, you have that today. So you should be ecstatic. You should be excited about life regardless of however life is going. God's given you more opportunity to serve and love people here, or He just calls us home to be with Him. It's a win-win, right? So we should be excited and happy that we have Christ in our life. We should be happy even during these hard and difficult times that we have through these last year, when we have, you know, whatever, all the stuff that goes on. It just seems like the world is disarray. It's always fighting each other. There's a lot of hate and a lot of anger and all that. But I want to remind you that with Christ, I'm telling you, the abundance of God's love overflows all of that. It covers all that. And we should know that we belong to the Lord, to those who are saved. We belong to the Lord. We're part of the family of God. And we should be excited and ecstatic about life. I think when we start turning our eyes toward the world, that's when we get down and we get depressed and we get discouraged. But when we start putting our eyes back on the Lord, we start getting more encouraged again. We start feeling that fire within us. And so I think God's not done until Christ returns. So we're not done, and we got to keep moving on. And I want to tell you one thing about the Lord. The Lord loves people. He loves people so much, He did give His Son. He loves people that He invests so much into mankind. He invests, even as ugly as the world gets, and as ugly as the world pushes back and says things, and God's still pushing and loving and bringing more into the family, because God loves people. Even in the book of Acts, we see the beginning. We see things that are going on there. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Acts chapter 13 this morning. We're going to look at some things here. There's some people hanging out. They're kind of hanging out. These are some key people. These guys are filled with the Holy Spirit, and God's going to call a couple of them out to go do something. And I think this is a really unique piece. He says in chapter 13, verse 1, "Now in the church that was at Antioch," and that's the place where believers were first called Christians. And he says, "And there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul." So we got these guys that are grouped together. And I want to tell you right now that God works with people who's working within the church. God's going to pull people who seem to find that kind of their second home is kind of their church. Listen to me, it's not a ball field. It's not the woods. Not a fishing lake. But the church. Those things can be fun. I love to fish. I like to do those things. But I'm telling you, it isn't the church house where you're going to see God pick and choose. Where God's going to form. He does that. He said in verse 2, "As a minister to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" So, God, the Holy Spirit is working. These men are praying and they're fasting. I want to remind you that prayer and fasting is an important thing for the believer. We do it corporately here. We're getting ready to go through a special time. We do it every January. We do a special week of prayer and fasting. We go to the Lord, we pray, and over whatever those things are, they always come to be. And we fast over those as well. We get down. That fasting is where you say, you know what, I'm not just committed in my words, but I'm committed in my whole being. Then I'm going to draw myself to God in this moment, and just in an intimate way, I'm going to draw, and I'm not going to eat. My eating is going to be my words with the Lord, and His words to me. It's going to be God's word, and that's the spiritual food. And we do that every January. And we change it up. Sometimes it's 3 days. Sometimes it's 5 days. Sometimes it's 1 day a week for a month. And then last year we did something a little bit different. We reassessed and came back in August, had a day of one day of prayer and fasting to remind us of what we did back in January. Because what we pray and fast for is usually a year peace. And so what we're doing here in a couple of weeks, we're doing a piece where we're going to have a focus on prayer. So that Sunday morning message, I believe it's the 15th. I think that 15th, somewhere like it. That'd be a specific message in the morning about praying, fasting. And then on Tuesday at 6 p.m., we're going to go into a prayer time of fasting and share those things, that we, the same things we did for in January, to remind ourselves that we're still in this time. And then we'll finish up on Wednesday. And on Wednesday, we have a service on Wednesday night. And that Wednesday night service will be a special prayer service. And that prayer service, there won't be any preaching, but there'll be a few songs. But in that prayer service, what we're going to end up doing is we're going to be praying. Now, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Or you ask with wrong motives. So if there is a prayer service going on, and the believers are together praying corporately over things, I would think that if I had a grandchild or a child or maybe problems in a marriage or got some sick people in my family, got some lost people in my family, got the heart of the nation on you, a nation is on your heart, whatever it may be, that you might bring those to the church, that we might pray over those. We don't have to know every detail. Some of those prayers you're going to pray amongst yourself. There's going to be some things we're going to do corporately here. And it's important because here we find these individuals who are all believers, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're praying and they're fasting, and God uses the Holy Spirit, and I want you, and I want you. It's in those moments where God moves. And some of you haven't felt like you haven't seen God move in a while because you're trying to make God move. You're trying to get into a place where you feel that you're in control of everything, and you're not. And when you stop trying to be in control, then you let the one who is in control start controlling, and then you'll understand, then he begins to start to move. You're not in control. Even as much as you think that you are, you're not in control. And when you do get in control, if you're like me, you're going to mess it up. You're going to mess it up. And how many of you have messed up a lot of things in your life by your choices and decisions? I got a right hand and I got a left hand and I can't stick my feet up, but I know I've done a lot more than those. Because I'm telling you, we are not good at making decisions, but when we lay them before the Lord, we lay them at the foot of the cross, we lay them before our Father, we lay them, He begins to move. And verse 3 says, then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. You don't see anointings much in a lot of Baptist churches anymore. There's still some out there. We do it every now and then. We don't do it a lot because I'm careful. Also, laying on hands, I'm very careful about that. You notice we don't do a lot of laying on hands. Here's the problem. The church is... Y'all want me to preach this morning? I don't want to be hard, but I'm just going to tell you. A lot of churches out there, I'm going to tell you what it is we just got so highly educated that we come to think that we out-educate the Lord. Basically, we just got so much into business, we took our eyes off of Jesus and put it on business. We took our eyes off of Jesus and put them on the nation. Now, don't get me wrong. I love our country. I serve. I'm telling you, my eyes need, as Scripture says, to be fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It needs to be fixed on Jesus. And so what we have is we have a problem here. And sometimes I'll just pick on the Baptists because we're Baptists. And we struggle with fasting. We struggle with even prayers. We want to make a prayer short and quick so we can get off to do the things that we like. And we avoid even laying of hands, and we avoid anointing. We avoid altar calls, even though maybe way back then they didn't altar call, but they did it in a different way because we don't want to offend people. Let me tell you, the gospel is offensive to the sinner. That's what lets him know that, oh, I am a sinner, or she is a sinner, to realize that we're separated from God, that we need Christ in our life and the forgiveness of sin, and we need to experience the awesome love of God. But being fasting and praying and laying on hands and anointings, those are very important. Some of us haven't seen an anointing service because services are not normal to us. So the Holy Spirit chooses these two guys. I want to remind you that Saul is also Paul. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down into this country and they begin to preach, and they're doing that, and they're moving across. And in verse 6, now they had gone, it says they had found a certain saucer. They're crossing across this island, and then this saucer kind of pops up here. And this as they keep moving, they end up with this sorcerer guy. He's a false prophet, and he's a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Let me tell you start sharing the gospel, you start doing the works of the Lord, I'm going to tell you, you're going to run into darkness. And darkness is going to run into you. And there's a reason. Because there are, and Mark's going with it. There's a group of these guys that are moving forward, and they're sharing the gospel across this island, and people are receiving it. And it's the most valuable, precious thing in the whole universe, the gospel of Jesus Christ. For when a man or a woman receives Jesus Christ into their life, has that salvation experience with God through Christ, their eternity is changed. They're no longer separated from God, but they inherited, they're engrafted, they become part of the family of God, a child of God. Evil, darkness, Satan does not want people to come to Christ. Does not want people to come to Christ. And here we find that there's a saucer. He says he was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the good words of God. So you have this proconsul, this kind of guy that's in head charge. The Roman Senate kind of put him in charge, said, hey, you're in charge here. You can move the military, but you're still accountable to us. So this guy is this hierarchy man, very highly intelligent. And he hears about Barnabas and Saul. And they're out there preaching. People are coming to Christ. And he wants to hear what they got to say. I want to remind you that there are some people that are lost that do want to hear about God. Not everyone that doesn't know Christ is pushing God away. A lot of people have a lot of questions out there. Well, who is this Jesus Christ? Why is he different? Why is Christianity different than per se of Hinduism or Buddhism? Muslim. So people have questions. And this man wants to hear the word of God. Well, we know that the word of God is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing, brings people, changes that road from a future destination to hell, separated from God, to changes it up through Christ to the family of God. But verse 8 says, but Elymas, the saucer, for his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So the saucer, Elymas, doesn't want the proconsul man to hear the gospel. Who is working this work? It is Satan, the dark side. Who is working through Saul and Barnabas? The Holy Spirit, God. I do not understand. Even some of my peers cannot even talk about demonic things. It is real. There is demonic work working through Elymas. He's a saucer. Satan is working through. The darkness is working through. The key is the proconsul, the Let me tell you, a soul of a man is worth, oh my goodness. How much is the soul of a man worth? The precious blood of Jesus. The death of the one and only Son of God. And for him to receive that would change his whole life, not just where he stands, but his eternity. And what we see here is the darkness is working through a man to seek to turn this proconsul, to turn this man who has this position away from the Word of God. What would it be like if a leader such as this proconsul came to Christ? Could the island change? Yes. It could change. This is a key. Listen, this is why we need to pray more for our leaders, our military leaders, our political leaders, anybody in leadership, because leaders have people following them. We need to pray for other leaders across the world. What would it mean if North Korean, as much as people get it, what would it mean if that man came to Christ? I'm just saying. What would it mean if a president would really come out and say, I come to Christ, this is the way I believe, and not hide behind anything? Oh, that we would have one. I'm not judging what we have, I'm just saying. I've not heard it across, for my years of living, it's been very difficult to hear him say, I am a believer, and I stand on the Word of God. Because of all the voices that are speaking into the leader's ears all the time. And he has one speaking in his ear. And sometimes when you're sharing the gospel, now I don't want to be hard, but I told you, yes, if I could preach, I want to tell you, by 90%, that's actually a little higher than, that's a lot higher than that, but I'm going to be conservative and say 90% of us have never shared the gospel with anyone. Because that's the preacher's job. Because that's, I bring them to church and they can hear it there. I will tell you that sharing the gospel, the Holy Spirit, when he's moving, listen, a person who shares the gospel can never save anyone. Let's get that out of the way. I'll save anyone. You don't save anyone. That's by the saving power of Jesus Christ. Amen? That is the Holy Spirit softening a heart, opening up ears that couldn't hear before. Get them up in there, and that's the Holy Spirit working through you as the believer, speaking the words of God. Don't worry. Sometimes we, oh, I messed it up. Sometimes, if we're going to mess it up, it's usually when we get fearful and we step back. But praise be to God, and sometimes he says, okay, let's try again another time. But sometimes we've all messed up on sharing the gospel. Amen? Amen. But when I say mess that up, it doesn't mean you're saying all the words wrong. Most of the time it's when we shy away from it. And God has us there for a specific moment. God is called, the Holy Spirit is called. Here it is, Paul and Barnabas, and they're here it is, and then they're gonna work it out. Then Saul, who was called Paul. This is the authority that the Holy Spirit will give at times. And you're like, I don't know how to say it. But sometimes it's just not sharing the gospel, it's drawing a line in the sand and being what God's called you to be right there and then. There's a war line right there, and sometimes we have to stand on it. And we can't shrink back. Then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. So here it is. It isn't that this Elymas is like way off. They're all here together. Paul, Barnabas, proconsul, Elymas. Somebody sharing the gospel. And they knew what was going on. Because I'm telling you, when you walk into a room and you start sharing the gospel, and you're sharing the gospel with someone, I'm going to tell you, you can feel it through your spirit which one is trying to fight you. Which one the darkness is working through. Because remember, it's the value of a soul here. This is where the battle takes place. The church and the Bible studies are all, it's all prepping you for these battle moments. Not just in your faith moments, but also sharing the gospel. And you're on the front line and you're sharing the gospel. Here it is. There could be a great big victory here. Somebody's life can be changed forever. And you know what happens when you change someone else's life? when the Lord uses you to help change, and that person comes to Christ, and that person gets saved and has salvation, I'm telling you, it can change generations. Because what do you do when you're saved? If you're a mom or your dad, you start sharing it with your kids. And then they share it with their kids. And you might be the first one in your whole bloodline family that come to Christ. And so the battle is here. And Paul's not going to let this one go. And he said, he looks right in the eyes of this man, this sorcerer, this false prophet. He says, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil." That right there could cause a fight in today's society. Oh, I wish we would have such boldness. Because we are so afraid to hurt someone's feelings. We're so afraid that we're going to step over the line of kindness. And let me tell you, there's a place for kindness. There's a place for goodness. It's called the fruits of the Spirit. But sometimes, you remember when Jesus flipped those tables? Sometimes, you got to speak. And you got to speak boldly. He says, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" What is Paul is trying to share the gospel. Barnabas is trying to share the gospel with this man. This other man is saying, is pretty much saying, you don't need that. You don't want that. But he's also doing all of his other stuff. He's a sorcerer. There's a spiritual battle going on in here. There's a spiritual battle going on in here for the soul of a man. How many of y'all heard when you share the gospel, people say, "Let me think about it." Not today. I got to ask my grandma. I got to ask my grandfather. I got to ask my parents. I got to ask my wife. I've had that one. I can't do it until I talk to my wife. And I've also heard, "I'm not a sinner." I asked my wife. She said, "I'm not a sinner." I've heard that one in sharing the gospel. The sad part of it is, I don't think that man came to Christ and he died. I share the gospel in a place, and I'm not boasting myself, but I just know how the Holy Spirit works. I was so scared. I was just nervous about it. This is before I was pastoring. I shared the gospel with a man who was working in security as I was. Here's what I don't know. I was used to all kinds of responsibility with the military, and I had a great job in the military, and I just had all this responsibility. Name was flying up in the ranks. But anyway, I ended up getting out, and here I am working at some $6.50 an hour security job, thinking, "What am I doing here? What am I doing here doing nothing? This is just a waste of my talents." But again, God was moving me and adjusting me into different positions than I thought. I'm sharing the gospel. It's like, man, I got to share the gospel with this guy. This guy's all over the place. So I was nervously sharing the gospel with him, and he wanted to say, "I just don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know." And he came up to that point. I want to, but I don't know. And I said, "Well, man, let me pray for you. Can I pray for you?" "Yeah, you can pray for me." I was like, "Well, think." I said, "Just think about what we talked about. Are you sure?" He goes, "I want to, but I'm not ready yet. I'm not sure." And I think, "No, Lord, I'll talk to him tomorrow." Well, his tomorrow never came. He drove one of them little rabbits, if you remember those little rabbits, out on 30, and a semi had hit him head on, and he was supposed to relieve me of my position, and I was waiting. I was like, "Why am I here extra 2 hours?" Nobody came in and kind of told me. He came in and told me that he had lost his life in a car accident. All I could think about was he kept saying, "I'm not ready." There was something that was fighting him. I felt it. There was something that he was fighting in there that he really wanted to, but he couldn't release his whole self to receive the gospel. He just couldn't grasp it, saying, "I want it," but he just says, "I want it, but I don't want to get that close." And we see here the same. You can almost see it in here where the proconsul wants to receive it, but he's got somebody speaking in his ear. I'm standing outside my father and my mother's house. This is before I was pastoring again. I saw some kids on a bike. Holy Spirit said, walk out there and talk to them. What? Oh, okay. Hey, you guys. And this is when I was, I think I was youth pastor. I don't know. I can't remember. But I was talking to them. And I began to talk with them. And then I just kind of beating around the bush. And Holy Spirit says, set it down. Come on. Don't be a bit about bush. Just boom. So, any of you guys go to church? Anybody know about anything about God? It's like four or five of them. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I used my parents and we used to go to church. We used to go to church. I said, do you miss it? I do. Well, do you know who Jesus Christ is? I heard about him. And then somebody started laughing. And I turned my focus on him and I said, what are you laughing about? Oh, that Jesus stuff is not real. And I took my focus off him, put it right back on this other individual and said, listen, what do you think? You think that people are going to laugh at you because come to Christ because you got a Bible? He said, this other guy jumped back in and says, yes, I laugh at anybody. Actually, I burn the Bibles. I burn Bibles when I see him. And then I figured he's just blowing a bunch of smoke and he's just trying to show off in front of the people that is there. But I also knew there was a darkness that was flowing through him. And then I said, well, what do you think about Jesus? And then they withdrew. I don't really want to talk about that right now. And they got on their bikes and they left. What I found out was it's almost the same thing here. When someone is wanting to check out the gospel, wanting to, and the Holy Spirit is working in a divine moment, there's the Holy Spirit working, and then there's demonic working. And I want to tell you, not everyone chooses Christ. And we see here Paul standing strong, and we would just have that strength. And even if you have to call it out sometimes, you son of the devil. I've never shared this story in this church. Some of you know, but I think it's appropriate to share. I was called by a previous member of this church to go to their house. He was living with somebody, which we know is living unrighteously. It's iniquity, living with someone. We all know people and live with people. We pray for them. I went over there and he said, my girlfriend, daughter, says she sees a monster coming out of a closet. Okay, well, come over and check it out. But I walked in. Before I walked in, I said, listen, man, you know you're not living right. I know. And I said, your prayers are not going to be powerful. Well, I said, yeah. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man, effective. The Bible says the righteous man's prayer availeth much. We got in there and began to talk to the woman. This is Huntington, folks. I'm telling you, this is Huntington. And began to share what's going on, just kind of got through those things. They began to share what she's seeing. I was like, she's a cute little girl down about this size. About Valerie and so size. So just we went, I said, can you show me where it is? She wouldn't go in the bedroom, but she just pointed like that. I come back and we sat down there in the living room. And I looked at him and he said, oh man, I didn't do anything. I'm sorry, I'm not talking to you. Because I'm praying, I'm doing the Nehemiah thing, talking and praying at the same time, I looked at her, because the Holy Spirit prodded me and said, it's not him. He was thinking I was saying, oh, dude, there was something sexual here. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to her. And I began to push. And I said, listen, you asked me to come here. I didn't come here. You asked me to come here. I looked at him. Do you want me to continue or not? I don't understand. He just all over the place. I looked at her and I said, what did you do? I made a promise I can't say. I said, what did you do? What did you do? I just kept putting the heat on. It wasn't me putting the heat on. It was the Holy Spirit putting the heat on. This was a mess. Did God love all of them in the house? Yes. But the concern wasn't about him, but he loved him. The concern wasn't so much about her, but it was that little one. You know Jesus loves little ones. You know that? Everybody want to push little kids away from Jesus. To leave them alone. They got something you don't got. They got a heart like a child. They're children. They just trust and love. So I put the hammer, I just kept pushing. Then I got a little more louder, and I said, "What did you do?" And she said, and then she finally broke. "I made a promise, but I told her." I said, "That's it. What's the promise?" And she finally broke, and she says, "My grandmother made a pact with Lucifer, Satan, that the firstborn female child of every generation belonged to him." And I said, "So your mom, she belongs to him, and now you do, and now she does." And she said, "Let me tell you, y'all need to open your eyes up at what's going on in this community. There's some other stories I'm not shared yet. It's just not time. But there's a darkness and an evil that's going on around here." And I began to work through that process and said, "I'll come back tomorrow. We're going to pray." And then when I called him on the phone and said, "I'm bringing someone with me," he told me on the phone, he said, "Listen, Jimmy, there's no such thing as the devil. Don't come to my house ever again." And I said, "Brother," I said, "let me tell you something. You talked to your sister in Mexico, didn't you? Well, what's that got to do with anything? Because I remember her down on State Street. When they came in, that family came in, I felt an aura, I felt a spirit that wasn't right. How did I know all that? Because the Holy Spirit works through the children of God. And it's not about boasting, it's not bragging, it's just Jesus' business. And Jesus' business gets pretty ugly at times. And here it is. It's about the soul of a person. And that little girl was a soul of a person. That child, those teens that I was talking to, they were all souls. They all had souls. And here it is. Now, Paul turns around and he says, "You son of the devil." And he says, "And now indeed," in verse 11, "the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." Woo, wouldn't that not be a sight? Not that it's fun, not that it's beautiful, but it is the power of God pretty much saying, "Get out of the way." And then it says, "And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand." I want to tell you that God is always over the power of the devil. Satan never has enough power to take out the Lord. And I believe when we're walking in the will of the Lord, that God protects us. And even though it looks like we might be losing some battles, because listen, folks, we are not perfect. There was only one that was perfect, and that was the man Jesus Christ. So he had to turn around and find someone to lead him around by the hand. Basically, now he's out of the picture. What's it say now? Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Victory belongs not to Paul, not to Barnabas, but to Jesus Christ. It says to the Lord. Salvation is the Lord's business, and he uses us as vessels to share the gospel. And there are some people in this community that need Christ. There's a lot of them. And we need to wake up because, listen, we are trying to go to 21 baptisms. And that's not by our works. But it's what we prayed and fasted for. Then we just didn't come up with praying and fasting. I spent some time out praying and fasting myself. Lord, what is it that you want us to pray and fast for? Now, one of those things was 21 baptisms for the year 2020. That's bigger than anything we've ever done. But there is no limit to God. And it's not about the numbers. It's about being obedient and believing and having the faith that we believe that God can do what he says he can do. Now I believe this proconsul man, he left and went back. And his day started out one way, but it ended differently. He's now walking home that day as a child of God. That's an awesome piece. And could you believe it? Could you imagine meeting Paul and Barnabas? These guys had so many testimonies. You don't think they had some rough days? You don't think They celebrated. Sometimes you have to share the gospel with 20 people before you get someone to even say, I got some questions. It can be a lonely road out there sharing the gospel all the time. But I want to tell you this, when you're doing what God's called you to do and you're sharing the gospel and you're doing whatever He's created and gifted you to do, I want to tell you the more you are in line with God's will, I want to tell you, you'll see Him move. Just as we see Him move right here in the beginning. They were at the church. They go back, and in closing, they go back, and they end up going back, and they end up back. They go to Antioch, and they see this here in the next, they're finishing up this chapter. What they end up doing is going back, and the Jews don't want to hear it. Paul gives this great peace, and they don't want to hear it. They were filled with envy. In verse 46, I'll finish it with this. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you rejected and judged yourself unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Sometimes when you're sharing the gospel, you can share it with some people, then you have to turn and go. You have to leave that in the Lord's hand. And I want to finish up scripture, and we're going to end up with this. 1 John 5:11 says this, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has a Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, and that name is Jesus Christ. It is good to know that we are saved today. But there are others that need Christ. And maybe you need Christ in your life. Without Jesus Christ, you're a lost person. God knows you. God loves you. But you're not part of the family of God. Your sins are still yours. Sins are forgiven to those who receive Christ into their life. And as we close out here, I can imagine some of you have maybe thought about people that you tried to share the gospel with. That you may have shrunk back, or that you have tried to share the gospel and they pushed you back. I want to remind you that if you are a believer today, that someone shared the gospel with you at one time, that they had all that same feelings in their life, but they were bold enough to share the gospel with you, that the Holy Spirit took them and chose them to speak God's truth, His word, into your life. And praise God, you received it. Amen. You received it. Making you a child of God. And our role in this generation is to keep doing what the previous generations did before. They do it a little bit different. It's okay. But the gospel never changes. Amen? Amen. Father, as we get ready to stand, let us pray, Father, your Holy Spirit, Lord, will work through us in a way that only you can. Lives are changed. Everlasting. When you're involved. I pray, Father, for those who don't know you today, that you're working on them, that they'll come to receive you today. Those who are struggling in their walk with you, that they'll be reminded today how awesome, how precious the gift of salvation is. And those who know that there are some people that they need to share the gospel with, praying for them to give boldness, give them boldness to share the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand. We'll give you the opportunity today.